call yeoldorchard.com.
How you doing, Pierre?
I'm doing well, Simon. How are you?
Good. I was watching that game last night, and I, you know, going all fanboy. I'm like, there you go. You know, Bruins are going to eat up one of their games in hand. They're going to pick up a loss in Detroit. And I know I played that clip of that Marchand goal. Nice goal. Nothing compared to that pass that he set up Pasternak with.
No, the pass was spectacular. I feel so bad for Luke Glendening. I made reference to it during the broadcast. That icing cost him the game.
Yeah.
And I really admire Bruce Cassidy. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Luke Glendening ices a puck with about 2 minutes and 23 seconds to go, I think. And he doesn't even hesitate. He pulls his goalie right away because they were just, you could feel the whole emotion of the game was changing. That's why I said what I said. And then eventually the Marchand pass that you're alluding to, Simon, it ends up on the stick of Pasternak, and he sticks it right to the back of the net.
Yeah, you're right about that. You felt that coming. It's kind of like, you know, the big bat shows up to the plate, and your pitcher's struggling, and you know the guy's going to go yard, and he did. Before we get into the Habs, though, Pierre, just for I got to watch a lot of that game yesterday. Yep. Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak. You look at that line. My goodness, it doesn't seem like there's even a flaw on that line. You look at that line, you know, all three of them, Pierre, that's one of the elite lines in hockey, or at least
right
it seems
now
like.
It is, for sure. I talked to Brad about that after the game, not only during our interview, but after that, and it definitely is. You know, you look at what he's done. He missed six games, then he came back for five before that, and he had 8 points, 3 goals and 5 assists in those 5 games. Not a lot of guys, I asked Bergeron about it too, not a lot of guys can do that. You miss 6 games, you lose your rhythm, he comes back five straight games, he gets 8 points. Think about that. That's really tough to do. Now, to be fair, he's playing with one of the premier players we've seen in the league over the last 20 years. You know, it's funny. Bob Gainey, they designed the Selke Trophy for Bob Gainey because he was the best defensive forward in the National Hockey League. And he really changed the way matchups were played because he was just so darn good at it. He won 4 of them. You know who else has won 4?
Patrice.
Correct.
It's incredible.
That's you're talking royalty there.
Yep.
And he's still got time. You know, he's still got plenty of time left in his career.
Yep, absolutely. Pierre, so the Habs have been off for, it seems like, forever, and they're back in action tonight versus the New Jersey Devils. From a coach's perspective, that layoff, how important is it, you know, or what does Claude Julien have to do to make sure that, you know, once they hit the ice, especially that first couple of minutes, they're going?
Well, he should have had it done in practice, and I bet he did because of his experience, and I've seen his teams come off of layoffs, and usually they're pretty good at it. All that stuff gets accomplished in practice, so you have to have, it's the old Al Arbor syndrome, prior preparation prevents potential problems. So that's how Al used to pursue things when he coached the Islanders. And if you do that as a coach, you're going to have some success because you're aware of situations that your team's going to face. And obviously the thing they're facing now is a layoff. And they're going against a battle-ready team. Now, the one good piece of news is Taylor Hall's not playing. That's the good news. The bad news is there are a lot of players in that team that are really good. And if you don't know who they are, you'll find out who they are after tonight, probably.
Yeah, I just want to get into the Devils. But, Pierre, from a coaching perspective, when you have a layoff like that, who struggles the most, you think? Is it your goalie? Is it your blue line? Is it your forwards? Because, look, like you said, I'm sure you can try to emulate in practice that game scenario, but we know that once the game starts, it's nothing that you see in a practice. So who might struggle a little bit early?
I would say probably special teams, a power play in particular. That's usually the most difficult thing because you don't really get those live fire exercises in practice. You can practice power play versus penalty kill. It's still not the same because you don't want to hurt guys with slap shots on your own team. Guys aren't blocking shots or not throwing their bodies all over there. So you can, you know, practice a lot of it, but it's still not the same. So I would say probably power play. But one of the things, and this was really one of my pet peeves, breakout is something that's probably the most important thing you can do in a game, whether it's through the neutral zone on a regroup or coming out of your own zone. So moving the puck from your own zone or in the neutral zone to the attacking zone is a really big part of the game. You should be working on that every single day. You shouldn't be rusty on any of those things. And if you are, that means you weren't practicing.
Have we reached a point in time, Pierre, where the generic shot on goal is just less valuable than ever before because goalies are so good and shooting lanes are so hard to find?
Yeah, I think people are just trying to throw as much rubber as they can at the puck. I talked to a lot of scouts about this too, Rod. One of the things we're missing, not every team, but one of the things we're not seeing as much, the super elite playmaker. And I'm not talking about NHL players. I'm talking about kids coming through, whether they be, you know, B-League players or Bantam minor players or midget minor players. We don't see elite playmaking anymore. What we see are kids going a million miles an hour, gaining the offensive blue line, and launching pucks on goal, because that's what they're being coached to do. You know, the best players I see are the guys that can change speeds, that can spin to the wall with the puck, can make other guys around them better. And when you watch elite players, Patrice Bergeron is a good example, when you watch elite players in the league, one of the things they can do is they can make plays, they can slow the game down, they can speed the game up. And so the shot on goal probably is not worth as much as it used to be.
It's almost a reflection of society as a whole. Like, it's all about immediate gratification now, right? In sports and in society, short attention spans, highlights, everything is now, now, now. Everything's fast. How about changing the pace? How about creativity to what you're talking about?
Well, and, you know, one of the things that I love, and especially because I got a son that's in that age group now, I get to work with a lot of young players. You know, don't advertise it, just go and do it. But you brought it up. So next week I'll be in Boston doing a 2- and 3-day, you know, clinic with young kids. Not young kids, they're high school or prep school players. A couple of them are college players who are home on breaks. And that's what I don't even bother on working on the speed stuff. They're already all fast. That's why they're playing at a high level. I work on the other stuff. You work on skill development and trying to enhance your peripheral vision and trying to play with the puck in traffic and trying to find outlets in different situations on the ice. And you can really do that, but you have to have the patience to want to do it.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you say that, because it's a battle that you see also, and I'll just flip sports here, is, you know, I have kids that play soccer, friends who played soccer at a pretty high level, and it's a cultural thing. For so long, Canada just wanted to get guys out there and defend, and now that there's such an emphasis on just being more creative, holding on to the ball, letting plays develop, so I'm happy that it's being done at all levels, because I'm enjoying the offense.
Yeah, no, and I agree. You know, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from Scotty Bowman. He was talking about when he coached Phil Housley, when Housley was 18 years of age, and he said he made tons of mistakes. And it took everything I had to bite my tongue and not yell at him. But the reason why I didn't yell at him is because I saw this kid that was an amazing artist. He was an amazing athlete. He was going to do amazing things for our team. I didn't want to break his spirit because I saw he had what it took to do those things. So I never crushed his spirit. And I never forgot that. I always remembered that. So maybe I didn't always follow it, but I never forgot it.
You tried. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Pierre, we had this discussion off the top when we're just breaking down the Devils and the Habs tonight. Look at Taylor Hall. And, you know, I spoke earlier in the week about the Drouin Sergachev. A little too early to dissect that deal. But the Hall for Larson, now we are well past the year of that deal. You know, I think, was it Rod and I agreed on this one, or was it Gallo, you agreed with me, right, on this one? We felt that Taylor Hall should have went for more. And it's not a knock on Adam Larson. I think he's a very good, he's a quality defenseman. But did Chiarelli miss on the ceiling for Taylor Hall on this one?
No, and I'll tell you why. Injuries were a part of it. There was a reckless way that Taylor Hall played, and it was around the National Hockey League, and people were really concerned about that. And they thought that maybe his career would be shortened. And there was kind of a fallback. You know, he started out so well, and then he kind of slipped and went back offensively, and then he kind of picked it up again, and then he slipped again. So there was an inconsistency to his game. And I can tell you the marketplace was not very high. I remember those summertime calls like they were yesterday, talking to both sides of the deal. And Edmonton definitely needed an identity on defense. They wanted to change how they were going to play, and that is something that Peter really wanted to do. And Ray Sherrill wanted to change the way his team was going to play. They wanted to go away from that defensive stuff and go more towards the attacking stuff. And so, you know what everybody says now, oh, Edmonton should have got more. If you go back in time and look at that, there were no other suitors, really, that were prepared to give up a player like Adam Larson, who's, by the way, really underappreciated. I think he's trying to do too much right now. Mm-hmm. He's still a very, very good player.
Taylor Hall won't be in the lineup tonight, neither will Kyle Palmieri. But right. Habs fans going to the game and watching the game tonight, this is not the Devils team that we've been accustomed to the last 15 or 20 or so years. They're much different, and it seems like they come at you, and they come at you fast, Pierre.
Yeah, no, they don't pull back. You're not going to see them trap it up. And Nico Hischier is worth the price of admission. Wait till you see him play, number 13. He's delightful to watch, and he's mature beyond his years. He's a playmaker. When you watch him make plays, you'll see what I'm talking about. You know, he's a kid that was really cultivated properly, whether it was over in Switzerland or with Halifax. He's been cultivated properly. Will Butcher, he's a playmaker from the back end. Same kind of thing. Watch how he plays. Colorado drafted him. He won the Hobie Baker last year at Denver University, playing for a Montrealer and Jimmy Montgomery. I don't know why Colorado didn't sign him, but they didn't. And New Jersey took advantage of that. Watch Brian Gibbons play. He's been kicked around all over the place. Watch him play. He's a playmaker. I mean, what they've done is they've combined speed and playmaking to make their team an all-four-line, attack-oriented kind of team.
And that depth up front that you're talking about, that allowed them to make the Adam Henrique deal. I saw him the other night in Anaheim. Looks pretty comfortable on that second line. Pierre, how's Vatanen fitting in New Jersey?
Sammy's fitting really well. They're so happy with Sammy. And one of the things you'll see tonight, Sammy and Andy Green play together. That's their top tandem. And what that does, when they're together, you'll see they transition the puck. They force turnovers because both of them are elite skaters. And then they can come with depth guys, and one of the most improved guys on their team is Steven Santini. He's a kid out of Boston College from Westchester, New York. Tremendously well-polished defensively and really has improved his NHL puck skills. So you'll see, because of one addition, they've kind of been able to change the way they play on the back end. And they don't even have Mirko Mueller now, who is playing fantastic for them. He got hurt as well. So, I mean, all I can tell you is that Sammy was a really good pickup. That's another one. That's a good trade for both teams. I think Blandisi could eventually be a very good scoring winger. I told that to Ray Sherrill when he made the deal. Blandisi's a really good player. And Ray knows that. But they really wanted Vatanen. And I think it's a great deal for both teams.
And, you know, Pierre, a couple of days ago we said that Mark Scheifele might be the best-kept secret in hockey.
I said it last night on the broadcast.
Thank you. Very nice. Good. And also, we talked about all these deals, and you mentioned all these Devils players, but very quietly, a couple of years ago, a guy that probably doesn't get enough press from a goaltending perspective, Corey Schneider, is I'm not going to say he's as good as they come, but high-quality goaltending.
He's gotten better this year, and I think part of the reason why is Ray Sherrill never buries his head in the sand. He's always looking to make his team better. He never makes excuses. And he thought that they needed to make Corey better in goal. He kind of dropped off last year. He lost a bit of his fundamentals. They went out and got Rolly Melanson from Vancouver. And Rolly has made a huge difference, whether it's with Corey Schneider or with Keith Kincaid. If you could watch tape from last year to this year on both guys, I think you'd be amazed at how much more refined they are. And that's not a knock on Chris Terreri, who was the goalie coach there last year. Just Rolly's been at it a lot longer in terms of coaching. And I think Rolly's done a really, really good job with Corey.
I saw it the other day, so I took note of it because, you just mentioning Ray Sherrill always looking to make the Devils better. And, you know, we're talking about a couple of the moves that were made, the Hall move and the Henrique deal. And Ray Sherrill has acquired Taylor Hall, Sami Vatanen, Kyle Palmieri, and Marcus Johansson for Adam Henrique, Adam Larson, Joseph Blandisi, 2 second rounds and two third rounds.
Yeah, draft picks.
That's quite the accomplishment to get that quality of players.
Nah, he's a sharp cat. I think anybody that's been listening to the show for a while knows that we're very, very good friends, and I'm really proud of him. He's more like a brother than a friend. So, and if you're listening, Raja, way to go. His mother was from Sorel, by the way, just so everybody knows.
Oh, very nice.
Mariette was from Sorel. Married Freddie the Fog when Freddie was playing there. So that's a long time ago. So that's his real name. It's not Ray. It's Ray Jean.
That. I'm going to let, now that Amanda Stein is part of the Devils
team. Yeah, Amanda should ask him, where'd you get the name Ray Jean?
There you go. So just some news and notes from the National Hockey League. Pierre, Matt Bolesky just never worked out in Boston, did it?
A little bit at the beginning, but no. He's been beaten out by guys, but like Dan Heinen's beating him out, and Dan's a really good player. Anders Bjork has beaten them out. They have Ryan Donato coming. He's beaten them out. Tim Schaller's beaten them out. He's just cheaper. So the problem for Matt is he's expensive, and they've got guys that are playing ahead of him. And it's, again, this is what happens with rosters, with the cap. So they're going to eat some of that money. I was in touch with one of their management people today. They're hoping he'll get picked up on waivers, and if not, then I would imagine that they'll probably trade him and eat some of his money, I would imagine.
Pierre, a lot of people believe that Bolesky is a guy that Julien wanted in Boston, that it was his type of guy. He wanted to get them to be more of a Western, have that Western Conference feel with Bolesky, and he played kind of well under Julien. Well, you know, we know Canadians have cap room. I'm not saying I would do it,
right.
But Bergevin did try to sign Bolesky that summer when he was a free agent.
Well, that's why I brought it up. At the beginning, when Matty was playing there, he did some really good things there. I don't think he gets enough credit early on. He was coming off a huge deal in Anaheim where he had over 20 goals as free agent. You reminded me a lot of Marty Lapointe, and when he did that with New Jersey, with Detroit, and then signed with Boston. But I think the biggest thing was Matty at that point really could skate. He could finish his check, and he played junior with P.K. Subban.
Pierre, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Awesome. Oh, yeah, for sure. Great visiting with you guys. Enjoy the game tonight. I can't wait to watch it. You know, I know it's a big night in the NHL. There are a ton of games.
Yep.
But that's really one. Now, whoever would have thought New Jersey-Montreal is a marquee kind of game? But it is, especially for the Canadians and their fans, because after this, it's seven straight on the road.
Yeah, tough stretch.
This is a big night. And like, I'll give you an example. I think I said it to you last night. Boston played last night and won. They got the extra point. They won. That's not good for Montreal. Boston plays Washington tonight at home. I'm just saying, if Boston wins and Montreal doesn't, now you're on the slippery slope. That's why these games are really critical. I know it's early in the year still, but it's really not.
Yeah, they're running out of racetrack. That is the reality.
Yep. Have a good one, boys. Take care. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you so much, Pierre McGuire. Simon Tsligas and Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. This Melick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Pierre LeBrun goes at 6:05. Pillow fight results. 6:35. Gallo, can we get an update? Can we go to the polls?
You would like me to go to the polls right now?
Yes. Pillow fight between one Pernell Carl Subban and one Shea Weber.
Yes. And I went there. Right now, Simon, this is the second most popular vote that we've had.
All right.
It could become number one. I mean,
what was number one?
Danny Briere versus Michel Therrien.
Yeah, it's Godfather.
One.
Yeah, the original.
The original.
Hard to beat that.
But this one, we got a ton of votes coming in.
All right.
And kind of decisive right
now.
Well,
how about not giving us who's the lead, but just giving us the percentages?
Okay, the percentages are 65% to 35%.
Okay, it isn't close.
Not right now.
It isn't close.
But we will see. I mean, we still have another hour. You know, we might have some red states coming in late.
The polls are open till 6:35. Little political talk there, right there for you, Rod Francis. That's it. All right, Pierre LeBrun goes at 6:05, and we'll get those results at 6:35.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwood's Delicious Pastrami Sandwich. Have it oven grilled, only $5 at Dagwood's.